That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the things that can kill you, like brain-eating amoeba.
Ugh.
Being a woman in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Unfriendly insects.
Yes.
And the things that just make you wish you were dead.
Like spinach in your teeth.
Mm.
Visible panty lines.
Oh, boy.
How about forced French kissing?
Yes. Awful. Horrific.
What if that all happened at once?
Oh, no. With visible panty lines. No.
That's the worst of it.
And spin it. Ugh, gross.
You know what would help?
Our theme song.
Let's do it.
Ground is shaken under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna.
What was that noise? Oh, just as we started, she got a text or something.
I don't know if it was my phone. It might have been my phone. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. Your sweater and your phone case sort of are paralleling each other today.
I'm full of color.
You are full of fall colors.
Oh.
Do you like a jewel tone?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm embracing them.
Yeah, as you get older.
Why not?
Right. It's
birds, jewel tones.
It's time for jewel tones, isn't it?
I'm entering my
like
jewel tone era.
A burnt orange.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you're in a burnt orange.
We're both wearing sort
look
of a burnt orange.
Look at us. We're going to look so good in a photo today.
Aren't we in a photo?
Should we do our new pics today?
No.
No, let's not.
No, the hair is not cooperating.
I have bad hair today, too.
Really?
Not two. Your hair looks great.
No, you're wrong on both accounts.
We're both wrong.
So how are you?
Well, I'm going to just say.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Seems like a build up to I'm fine.
Yeah, I just, I wasn't sure how much I wanted to get into things.
Fair enough.
My son's homesick.
Yeah.
Making eclairs from like a 1962 Betty Crocker cookbook. I think it was my mother's.
I'm a little concerned that he has, because you said he has diarrhea and is throwing up and he's cooking.
Oh.
Is that a really good
idea? He's not throwing up. He just had diarrhea last night.
Uh-huh.
And now he said, I'm so afraid I'm going to have that diarrhea at school. Please don't make me go.
Are you saying he's not sick anymore? He's only sick for one day?
I don't know. He just said, I still don't feel well.
Okay.
So I think that's fair.
No, it's totally fair. It just seems like if you have a virus, maybe don't cook. And
I mean,
spread your virus to everyone who's going to eat your food.
He washed his hands.
It's okay.
I mean, right. We won't share the eclairs out of the house.
We had a get together for a carrying on a Hanukkah tradition that my mom had. And unfortunately, Garen couldn't come because of his dog.
We missed you there,
Garen. How is Dexter doing?
He's doing good.
Okay, good.
I don't know if I'm wishful thinking, looking and seeing progress from this medicine, which I thought would take time, but it's a steroid. So my mom said that steroids act fast. So
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He still stumbles. It may be lessened a little bit. So I'm a little hopeful.
What is the diagnosis?
We're highly likely that it's a brain tumor. So,
oh shit,
it's a Band-Aid. It's a stopgap, basically.
Okay.
So it's
sorry.
Like a pause on the timer, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, but, baby.
So I don't know how long. I mean, it could be tomorrow. Something could change, and you know. But
so the
okay
medicine
now.
Is just to make him feel more comfortable.
Supposedly, it shrinks the tumor.
Oh, okay.
And lessens.
Okay.
It's like there's treatments to shrink tumors in dogs, right. But not humans.
I don't get it.
And it's $20. I don't understand.
It's called Alpo. Does Alpo still
exist?
Rachel
Ray food.
I hope so.
I don't know. When I was a kid, that's what we gave our dogs. That's my only reference.
I think they're still around.
You can probably buy it.
So far, so good.
Okay, well, we're keeping a good thought for Dexter.
Yes, yeah, keep us posted.
Hopefully there's a long time, but you never know.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll see.
So, but the big news was that our children got to meet for the first time.
Yes.
And
very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all hit it off.
Did they? I don't even know. I wasn't really around the kids that much.
Oh, yeah. I think it all went well. I mean, they're very different ages.
Yes, extremely different.
But I know my kids had a really good time.
Good.
They're still
so
talking about it.
Oh, good.
And every once in a while, Benji's just walking around with his vegetable steamer that he won. Going, I got a vegetable steamer.
So we played a white elephant game. And,
so excited about it.
You know, where you get the gift and then you open it and you pass it around and different things happen. And Benji, anything kitchen related, Benji had his eye on. Yeah. And apparently took all of it home.
I think so. Yeah, I was like, Sven was really stressed about it because he's like,
oh, no.
I think Benjamin took too many things. Like, I think he took stuff from other people. And I was like, did he? Like, you know, sometimes I'm a little oblivious to certain things going on. And Sven is he's much more worried about committing any social faux pas than I am, as far as like making sure, you know, like offending other people. And he goes, yeah, I think he was just taking other people's stuff. And I go, I don't think Benji would take something from someone else. I think it was more that there was some stuff on the table.
Leftover.
He goes, yeah, but he took more than his share. And I go, I don't know. He goes, I think that stuff's meant to be left for the hosts.
No. And I go, I don't need a vegetable steamer.
I go, you know, I'll check with Danielle. I think it's okay. I think Benji was just excited to get kitchen stuff. Like, I mean, there were a pair of ear pods and he was like,
he gave up the earbuds for, was that for the hot sauce?
Yeah.
For a set of hot sauces.
He doesn't even like hot sauce, by the way.
Then why did he want them so bad?
So he can make stuff for Alex.
Oh, because she likes
hot
sauce.
Oh,
my God, that's so sweet.
You got to get this kid on MasterChef Junior.
I know. He really...
Auditions are open. I checked.
And he brought them.
He checked. So Oliver started watching Succession.
Yes.
Which I think I mentioned. And so I've been watching it with him. And we got to like the third episode, I think it is. And Roman goes... You watch the Sopranos. Mm-hmm. I mean, Succession. So Roman goes into the office. He's like, oh, I finally got my own office. And he starts shutting the pulling the blinds down, and I'm like, oh God, here it comes, because I remembered what was going to happen. So I'm just like, oh God, I don't really want to watch this with him, but here we are.
Yes.
So this is where Roman leans against the window looking out onto the city and jerks off onto the glass.
Oh, right,
wall.
Right, right.
And I felt I should say something because I was so uncomfortable that I just said, what's wrong with him? Just like the understatement of
oh my God, Danielle. I'm never gonna stop laughing.
I don't know.
He knows
what's
you've seen this before, right?
Yeah, he knows just, I've seen it before.
That's hilarious.
And I mean, wait till we get to the showing you the dick pic of. Remember when he shows the dick pic to Jerry, but it ends
up
going to his dad?
Who was more uncomfortable in that moment? You or
I think him. Probably more so after I said that. Like,
yeah, I don't think
it doesn't
it
make things better.
It didn't help.
What's wrong with him? Well, actually, you'll find out. There's a lot wrong with him.
There's so much.
And he has good reason to be acting out. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Well, when that episode happened, when we were watching it, the episode where he sends the dick pic to his dad.
Yeah.
And he does that thing where he like crawls into himself. We showed that part to Oliver because we thought it was so funny. I think we actually accidentally showed him the whole thing because we couldn't rewind. Because we thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
So he's already, you know, experienced that.
Yeah.
But But now we're on the now we're on the Tom. We're about to get to the Tom's bachelor party, and I remember something. I don't remember what happens, yeah. But I remember it's really, really gross. And
yeah,
ugly. I don't know if this is the four on the floor thing where they're like
a boar on the floor.
Boar on the floor. I think that's later. But this is something bad.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, God. But he loves the show. Like, he's so into the show. It's,
I can imagine.
He went to the screenwriting camp and he had written this thing and he's like, I just don't think it's any good. I'm like, why do you suddenly don't think it's good? He's like, well, I mean, listen to this dialogue. I'm like, you cannot compare yourself.
No, no.
To the writing of perhaps the best show
you gotta
maybe
make him,
ever made. On
make him watch the Ira Glass thing about.
When
Ira Glass, this is so freeing, where Ira Glass talks about, I don't know what it's called, I'll find it, but basically he talks about the struggles of creative people when your taste exceeds your talent.
Oh, God, the story of my life, sure.
Me too, but yeah. Like this idea of like you can't do that, essentially.
Right.
And he articulates it so well that for me, seeing like listening to him say that was so illuminating.
Okay.
So,
is it a podcast? Is it a show?
It might just be an audio clip.
Okay.
But it's really wonderful, and he articulates it so well, and he's so wise. You know, I mean, it's Ira Glass, but it just made me feel really—I don't know—like seen in a creative way.
Yeah.
This idea that like you can't compare yourself to the things you like because you're going to have good taste, so you're going to like
really
amazing
funny
things, but that's not where you're going to be necessarily.
Yeah.
And you have to let go of that idea that like what you're going to create is going to be at that level necessarily. Like,
it's also funny because I once saw Ira Glass live in some show he did, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go.
Maybe he's not.
He might not be that wrong.
Right. The other thing I wanted to say was that much like a child lost in the Descanso Gardens.
Yes.
My butt is missing.
What happened to it?
I was sick last week, as you know, and it turned out it had nothing to do with drinking wine, or if it did, I don't know how that's possible because I was sick all week.
Yes.
And I didn't eat much, and I didn't go to my class, my Pilates class, and now I don't have a butt.
That's all it takes is one week and you lose a butt?
Yeah. Well, 1 week and 50 years of living. I mean, I'm old, so I'm gonna lose it anyway, but it's gone. It's completely gone.
Yeah.
There's no differentiation between my butt and my legs anymore.
You know what happened to my butt?
What?
It went square.
Oh, mine started square. No, it did. Really?
Yeah.
I've never met anyone else with a square butt.
Well, I come from a family of square butts.
Mm.
It's a genetic thing, but it used to have like a kind of a roundness,
mm-hmm.
and then it just, I could see, I was like, oh, I'm getting that family butt, and it just went square.
What do I do?
You accept it.
No, I don't want to.
Well, I just don't look back there.
Well, honest to God, my underwear were fitting different, and I was like, what is happening? And then I looked, and I was like, oh, it's completely gone. It's completely gone. I mean, there's just no butt anymore.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just going to have to eat donuts and...
There you go.
And do squats.
I guess. Or you could just not.
Accept it? Yeah.
Just accept it. I mean, I don't know. What's the difference? Are you going to be that much happier?
That's a good question. It's just depressing because it is such a sign of being old. You know what I mean? That's why it's depressing. It's not like... It's like, oh, right. You get old and your body falls apart. It's just, it's depressing.
Well, it still sits.
Yeah.
If it helps, I've never had one.
You've never had one?
No, the screen door back there.
Yeah. I always call, mine is just flat and wide. It's like a modern television.
Yep.
You know what? We can put movies on our butts.
Yeah. I'll watch This Is the End of the World, You Hurt My
Leave
Feelings.
Leave the World Behind, showing on Danielle's butt Friday. Saltburn, showing on my butt Saturday. Oh, wait, can I tell one more story?
Yes.
So Saturday night, we were maybe going to go to this fancy holiday party.
Okay.
That then we didn't end up going because of Benji's soccer championship, but I thought I was going to go, so I was trying on this jumpsuit that's kind of sexy. Alex came in the room and she goes... You're going to a party, right? And I go, no, soccer. And she goes, oh, no, we don't do that in this house.
Are you kidding me? That's hysterical.
And walked out.
She's so funny.
We don't do that in this house.
Oh my God. I actually did end up kind of making fun of your kids too. Not making fun of them, but like doing what you do, which I like gaslighting them.
Good.
Because they were playing ping pong and there was a ping pong that has a hole in the middle.
Yeah.
That my grandfather, my grandfather, Oliver's grandfather gave to him.
I love that.
As like a joke. Jimmy's dad. So Alex was like, how did this happen? And I said, well, Oliver hits the ball so hard and so fast that it, you know, it put a hole in the paddle. And both of your kids were looking at me like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Good.
I don't know what it is. I think they're just marks.
They are. They're fun. They're fun to mess with.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this.
We are going to discuss how to survive an unfriendly insect, that insect being tsetse fly.
Ooh. I don't care for that.
Yes. You mind pronunciation or just the as it exists?
I'm picturing the spelling being like T-S. E-T-S, like lots of S's and T's.
T-S-E-T-S-E, that's exactly right.
Oh my God, I'm so smart.
I always thought it was tsetse fly, but I looked it up, it says tsetse fly, and then I watched some British woman say it, and I mean, that's totally different pronunciation. So
yeah, they call it like a jumper fly.
Jumper fly. I do have a picture, let's see if I have a picture.
Did you bring an actual one in, of an actual tsetse fly?
It is kind of gruesome.
Oh.
Let me see.
Can you see that from there?
Ew.
Okay.
Is it that also two size?
No, I don't think so. Jesus, I hope not.
They're 6 inches long.
Yeah, they're 6 inches long.
Tsetse dog.
Right. Okay, so... what is African sleeping sickness?
Have
you ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
African sleeping sickness, or African trypanosomiasis, is a disease caused by a parasite. It is passed on by the bite of the infected tsetse fly. Okay, what causes African sleeping sickness? There are two types of the disease.
Okay.
They are named for the areas of Africa where they are found. West African sleeping sickness is caused by the parasite Trypanosoma brucei gambiens.
You sound perfect.
Uh-huh. This long-term chronic infection can last for years.
Mm-mm.
East African sleeping sickness is caused by Trypanosoma brucei rhodesiens. It's a short-term acute illness that may last several weeks to months.
Acute.
It's acute. It's acute. So I'm guessing Gambia and Rhodesia, which Rhodesia is the old name of... I know this. I can't remember. Anyway, people from the U.S. who travel to Africa are rarely infected. On average, one U.S. citizen is infected every year. The person is typically infected in East African game parks. All 40 cases that have made their way to the United States were the East African type.
Oh, okay.
Okay, who is at risk for African sleeping sickness? The only people at risk for African sleeping sickness are those who travel to Africa. Also, those who live in Africa.
Yeah, those people maybe too?
Yeah. That's where the tsetse fly is found. The parasites that cause the disease are passed on only by the tsetse fly. So they're just the messengers.
It's not their fault.
No. Tsetse fly lives only in rural areas. They live in woodland thickets of the savanna and dense vegetation along streams. Visitors to cities and other urban areas are usually not at risk.
So it's more in the rural...
Yeah.
I wonder why. Is it sanitation stuff or is it...
They live in... Oh, I'll get to it, I think. But I'm not sure exactly. It's just they live in, not a marsh. Marsh isn't the right word, but...
A bog.
Grass, maybe?
They live in the moors.
They live in the moors.
The African
like
moors, yes.
Yeah.
With Heathcliff and Catherine of the...
Do you know that I have never read Wuthering Heights? I have never seen any adaption of
Wuthering
Heights.
Let's read Wuthering Heights together.
Okay.
You know, I read it, I think, when I was a teenager because I loved the song Wuthering Heights.
I don't know that song.
It's a Kate Bush song, and then Pat Benatar covered it.
Does it say, go, running up the moors?
Yes, kind of. It's like, Heathcliff. It gets very high, better than what I just did. And so I was like, well, I should read this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I really got it because I was too young and I hadn't read enough literature to really understand. Mm-hmm. It also might just be
boring. Yeah.
But I do love Jane Eyre, which is Jane Eyre is... Not Charlotte Bronte. I think Jane Eyre is Emily Bronte. One of my favorite books.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I'm going to like her sister's book. But
I mean, you could like Meg Tilly and not like Jennifer Tilly, for example.
Or not or like
vice versa.
Or neither.
Or neither.
But I'd love to try it again. So if we ever decide to do that together,
okay,
I will do it.
Good.
If we ever decide to.
Yeah. But it's just one of those books that it's so in the, I don't know if the zeitgeist is the right word, but it's so in pop culture that you know things about it, even though I've never read it, I've never seen it. I know characters' names, I know Moors, I know Wind.
But also, would you recognize a Moor?
Well,
like if you were upon a Moor, would you know you were upon a Moor?
No, I would just say it's cold here.
You were just like, can I have another sweater? Can we go inside and get a hot toddy?
Yes.
There are now, no, never mind.
Heaths. Oh, geez, I don't know the difference between a heath and a moor.
I've viewed heaths when I was on an island in Germany.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, here we are. Here's a heath. Now I know.
Oh, and what is it?
It's like
a moor.
it's a little different than a moor. Well, it's sort of like a grassy, it's not grass, it's like vegetation that grows, and that's all I can really tell you.
Okay. Is it very green?
Yeah, it's very green. It sometimes can have some flowers.
Oh.
And it grow. It's sort of in a sandy area. So I don't really know why it's considered a heath. But I remember reading about it, and now I've already forgotten.
Okay.
That's all I know.
I
Sorry.
Like a heath bar.
I don't remember if I do.
Oh.
Isn't it real, like, crumbly?
It's like hard. It has, I think it's milk chocolate over,
like, a bunch of
brittle
brown stuff that crumbles.
Yeah, it's crunchy.
No,
oh,
thank
it's
you.
Delicious. Oh, my God.
Mm-mm.
How about a score bar?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, my God. You're missing out. It's like that, but dark chocolate, I think.
I do like dark chocolate.
Okay. The disease is found mainly in tropical Africa. The greatest risk of getting it is in Angola, Central African Republic, Chad, Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, Malawi, Tanzania, Sudan, Uganda, and Zambia.
A lot of those places you listed, I think, are very low on my travel itinerary.
Oh, really? I'd love to go to Africa.
But some places aren't places I want to go.
I don't honestly know the difference between most African countries. I don't know, like, what is known for what exactly.
Yeah.
So I can't say.
I feel like some of them are like, yeah, you don't probably want to go to, like, Congo.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I would just like to go on a safari.
Okay.
I don't mean not one where you kill animals. Is that the same word, safari, just looking at animals and also going to kill animals?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to do the killing part, but I would love to see the big animals.
What if you accidentally signed up for the wrong one?
Oh, well, I gotta kill them then. You don't want to look like an idiot.
You would do it?
Oh, yeah.
you would
guns
never
blazing.
Do it. You would never do it because you are the person, like, I would do it. I'm the person who just
you would
goes,
eat animals? You would
I would
cut animals?
I would go along with it because I would be like, I don't want to make a fuss. And you're the person who's like, I'm not doing this. You definitely speak up for yourself.
Well, not in every situation, but certainly when it comes to killing large game, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You're so funny.
But if I was scared of the people... Like, remember those people that wrote that book? The woman who wrote that book?
More general. What are you saying?
You know that book that became a movie. Sorry, I'm taking up too much time.
No, I just don't know what
I saw you looking at the clock,
Well,
Danielle.
Only because our guest is coming earlier today.
You know, oh, God, what's the book that became a movie? And the woman who wrote it
Wild.
Turned out to be... She and her husband killed some people in Africa.
What?
What?
God, you know this.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
We're going to put a pause on that.
Okay.
We're going to get to
we'll come
it
back to
in
it.
What Did We Learn Today? Because I'm completely fascinated and probably will stop reading the book I'm reading right now to read that because that sounds good. Okay. What are the symptoms of African sleeping sickness?
Where the Crawdads Sing.
That's a... Wait a second. I read that.
Where the Crawdads Sing. Yeah.
She killed people?
Her husband.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah.
Is Where the Crawdads Sing the one where she had a horrible childhood?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm completely... And they made it a movie, but
yeah.
I didn't see the movie.
Listen, we'll come back to it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, keep going.
Tsetse fly bites can be quite painful. Travelers often recall being bitten.
Oh, my God.
A painful sore often shows up at the site of the bite within a week or so.
Does a worm come out of it? Everything in Africa has a worm coming out
of
it.
Oh, God. It's called a chancre. C-H-A-N-C-R-E. That's the name of the sore that shows up.
Oh, yikes.
Each person may have slightly different symptoms, but symptoms tend to happen within 1 to 4 weeks of infection. At first, they may include fever, skin lesions, rash, swelling, or swollen lymph nodes on the back of the neck.
No.
That would scare the fuck out of me.
Oh, my God.
After many weeks, the infection may become meningoencephalitis.
Oh, my God.
This is an infection of the brain and the fluid surrounding the brain and spinal cord. As the illness gets worse, symptoms may include severe headache, personality change.
Oh, no.
weight loss.
What if you become more interesting, though?
That could be a benefit for a lot of people. Irritability. Loss of concentration. Progressive confusion. Oh. Slurred speech. Seizures. Difficulty walking and talking. Sleeping for long periods of the day. Check.
I have that already.
Yeah. And insomnia at night. If left untreated, death will occur within several weeks to months.
Okay.
The symptoms of African sleeping sickness may look like other health problems. Always see your health care provider for a diagnosis. How is African sleeping sickness diagnosed? If you have a fever, rash, or chancre, which is the ulceration of the skin, after returning from areas in Africa where you may have been bitten by a tsetse fly, contact your health care provider. Tests can find the parasite. These tests may include blood samples and a spinal tap.
I've had one of those.
It sounds awful.
Ugh.
Your provider may also take a sample of chancre fluid or tissue or fluid from swollen lymph nodes.
We're going to take a tissue sample. That sounds fun.
How is African sleeping sickness treated? Okay, I'm going to get into that a little bit more. But your healthcare provider will figure out the best treatment for you based on how old you are and all that kind of
Should
stuff.
Should I call my doctor?
Yeah, make an appointment. Medicine is available to treat the disease.
Oh, good.
You will need to stay in the hospital. After you go home, you will need follow-up exams for about 2 years. These will include a spinal tap. Because this infection is so rare, your healthcare provider may talk with an infectious disease or tropical medicine specialist. If the disease is not treated, the symptoms can worsen to severe illness and death will occur. Okay, so this is what I want to tell you about how... I looked it up to make sure this is still how they treat it.
Okay.
And it is.
Is it the chicken butt?
No.
And they tie it on your...
No. They use something called Mellar Soprol, which is an arsenical compound.
Ooh.
It's still the most effective compound against stage 2, which is in the nervous system, of the disease in both the East and West African varieties. However, it is toxic and causes death in about 2-8% of subjects treated. L-4-nithine is an alternative to Mellar Soprol for West African version. I just try not to say the word because it's too confusing. However, it is very expensive and its usefulness is endemic in endemic areas may therefore be limited. So the people it affects. The standard regimen is 100 milligrams intravenously six hourly for 14 days. There have been some anecdotal reports that a shorter 7-day course may be equally effective with obvious cost-saving advantages. Okay, so this is how you should prevent getting bitten by the fly in the first place because that's really the best thing to do. Okay, cover exposed skin by wearing long-sleeved shirts, long pants, and hats. Clothing fabric should be at least medium weight because the tsetse fly can bite through thin fabric. Okay,
like canvas. So you're going to wear canvas.
Yeah, none of your tissue turtlenecks.
No. No crepe paper pants.
No. Wear neutral color clothing. The tsetse fly is attracted to bright colors, very dark colors, metallic fabric, particularly the colors blue and black. So you know what that means. Don't wear that dress. That internet dress.
Oh,
don't
the internet
wear it.
Dress is the tsetse fly's favorite.
Because what is it, black and blue and gold and something? White? Whatever it is.
Don't
like
get me
metallic,
started because I'll fight to the death over what color it is. I don't remember which one I picked.
I don't either. Avoid bushes during the day. The flies rest in bushes. That's the word I guess I was looking for. And will bite if disturbed.
Could you imagine making a bush of those angry?
God. Use bed nets when sleeping. That makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Inspect vehicles for tsetse flies before entering. The flies are attracted to the motion and dust from moving vehicles. Do not ride in the back of jeeps, pickup trucks, or other...
How are you going to go on a safari?
Yeah, right? Well, also, how are you going to pick up boys if you don't ride in the backs of jeeps?
Oh.
What is that movie? Riding in the backs of cars
riding
with boys?
Riding cars. Don't be Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. That's not the one that What's-Her-Face was in, right? Britney Spears? She was in some road movie.
What was she in?
There is online, I'm hoping if I say it, I'll remember what it was for. Oh, The Notebook. She tested for The Notebook.
I heard she was great.
And she was.
You saw it?
I saw the test. She was good.
I want to see it.
And it's kind of weird because, like, she wasn't good after that and anything else, really, right? Like, she's...
I don't know. I could see her being good at acting because I feel like people who can just disappear into other characters.
Yeah.
Like, I could see her being good at...
Yeah,
sort of...
she actually found it troubling, which she said is why she... When she did do a movie, she found it troubling to be in that other person's life. So she didn't act anymore. But you should watch the test. It's kind of shocking.
Yeah, I do want to watch it.
Yeah. Okay.
You going to read her book?
I don't think I can handle that level of sad.
Yeah, I don't think
I don't know if I can.
I don't think I'm interested enough.
Same. That too. Both of those things are sort of hand in hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Do not ride in the backs of Jeeps, pickup trucks, or other open vehicles. CC flies are attracted to the dust created by moving vehicles and animals. Although there is limited evidence that insect repellent works against CC flies, you should still use insect repellent as it can prevent other diseases spread by bugs.
Throw that DEET on.
Or just throw the can at them.
Oh, yeah.
The CC flies.
I'm going to use full force DEET.
Yes.
I'm not going to try to use anything natural if I'm going on an African safari because I've heard about all the crazy bugs. We've covered a lot
of
them.
Yes, we have. Okay, so this is from... They actually made a movie about this, about CC flies. I mean, like a documentary. And I'll put the... We'll put the link on the newsletter if anyone cares, but it's SW Pictures. And so this is from that website.
Okay.
This is sort of the story, such as it is. Okay, sleeping sickness is the deadliest disease in the world. I tried to corroborate that. I'm still not sure if that's true, but...
Okay.
Okay, the Democratic Republic of Congo suffers more cases than any other country. Without treatment, parasites called trypanosomes invade the victim's brain, ravage their sleep cycle, driving them mad before finally killing them.
That's terrible.
But the dedicated doctors and medics are fighting back. In this television documentary produced for BBC, we tell the stories of those who have lost family to the disease and of the lucky ones who have survived this deadly disease. This is a heartrending story of people who have to keep fighting to survive, despite this terrible disease taking their lives in their villages every day. Okay, so last year, Reagan lost four brothers to the disease. To disease, and one of them was from sleeping sickness.
Okay.
Now, in spite of his mother's fears and efforts, Reagan himself has fallen victim to the parasites that cause deadly sleeping sickness. The parasites enter the body through the bites of the CC fly, common along the banks of the Congo and in the village of Nyoki, which is not
the pasta.
The potato dumpling pasta. I'm just guessing this is how you pronounce it.
Do you like gnocchi?
I do.
I like it,
but
too.
I don't know that I'll ever eat it again because it's just the heaviest thing you could possibly eat. But I do need my butt back, so maybe yes.
You should get that gnocchi right in your butt.
Right, my butt.
Go straight to your butt.
Right. Where Reagan lives. Nyoki has a population of 35,000, and patients here are treated for free. The cost of their treatment covered by foreign aid. Reagan's condition is not good. His mother Zozo noticed changes in his behavior.
Okay.
He started sleeping in school. That's when she decided to bring him to the hospital, leaving his brothers and sisters to fend for themselves back home. The bites of the CC fly are clearly visible on Reagan's body, and it is likely that the parasites are now in his brain.
Oh boy.
Left untreated, his condition will be fatal. He is given an injection of Melarsoprol, an extremely dangerous treatment based on an arsenic compound. It kills the parasites but can cause fatal inflammation of the brain, killing one patient in 20. It is so corrosive that it is kept in glass bottles as it melts plastic containers.
Holy cannoli!
Yeah. Half of all patients that have an adverse reaction to the treatment will die. Reagan reacts badly to the injection. Mm. It causes him to go into shock. He's given an anti-inflammatory drug to stabilize him, and it works. He survives the Melarsoprol this time, but will need a full course of injections to kill all the parasites in his body. Without the injections, he will die. With them, there's a high risk of him having another bad and potentially life-threatening reaction to the drug. Melarsoprol is the only treatment available to him in Nyoki. Luckily, Reagan survived both the injections and his illness and made a full recovery.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know. However, due to the lack of supplies and the dangers of Melarsoprol, many others like him are not so lucky. So I guess that's the main story of the movie, but it still seems interesting. Still might want to check it out. It's like,
yeah,
if they don't have enough horrible things to worry about there. But it's like, how do you live in just an environment, like the environment itself is dangerous. I mean, obviously that exists lots of places, but
yes.
Just think that's just your normal life.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like in the film, you see a clip of the film and I think he's fishing, he's doing something in the water. And it's like, but this is his normal life. This is what he does. It's like,
yeah.
He's just not wearing long pants because it's Africa and it's boiling hot and this is his life. It's just, anyway, it's crazy. And the treatment, I was like, is this some treatment that like existed at the turn of the century and is gone? No. This is still the treatment.
It's what they're doing.
It's really scary.
Yeah. It reminds me of when we did the episode about those worms that like will come out of people's feet. And
yeah.
And they have to like tie a stick to it and every day turn the stick
right,
like a quarter
right,
of
right.
an inch. And you're like,
This is the best we can do still.
Worm looms.
Yeah. We got a stick we're going to turn slowly every day. Like, we haven't figured out something a little bit better than this.
Right.
Feels like maybe we should try harder.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, weird. But that doesn't feel like modern medicine at all.
But then again, it's still amazing that people can survive this horrible, horrible thing. Whereas, you know, before treatment, there wouldn't have been any. Anyway, it's terrifying.
Fascinating. Thank you for keeping us safe.
You're welcome.
Let's make people afraid.
Garen's itching. Are you thinking there's a CC fly on you? We're covered in them. But yeah, what do you do if you want to go to another part of the world? And
you know, life is risky.
Yeah.
You got to assume some risk.
Yeah. There's no vaccine. There's nothing for this particular thing. You know, obviously when you go somewhere, you get shots ahead of time. There's nothing for this.
Yeah. You just assume that you're not going to be that one in whatever
one
in a whatever million said it was. I've already forgotten because my brain is like,
that's okay.
It's what's bigger than a colander? Is it just an open?
You mean with bigger holes?
Yeah.
What has a big, okay, let's see. Like a children's game where you have to put the shapes in. You know, the
like
shapes
whack-a-mole?
Have to. No, where the shapes have to match the shape.
I got it.
Chris, the shape of the toy is the same as the shape of the hole. And the kid has to figure out which shape goes in which hole.
Yes.
That's something with big, an open weave shawl.
Yes, that's my brain.
Yeah. Okay.
Big holes. Big hole
cheese
brain.
Cheesecloth.
Too small.
Too small. All right. Well, we'll be right back after this.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to How to Survive. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Christine.
How are those cookies treating you?
So good.
Oh, my gosh.
I can feel my butt growing back. I was explaining.
You're rising in the chair.
Those butt cheeks are just rounding out. I'm telling my guests, I was explaining to them earlier. Our guest.
Well, I guess.
I belong to all of you.
Thank you. That my ass has completely disappeared. And there's an APB out for it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You I know. Getting the authorities.
I saw an ass on the way in here.
Oh.
But I didn't think anything of it. And I said, you better get out of here.
Yeah. It wasn't much to begin with. So you were right not to think anything of it. But it has detached itself from me in some weird way. Guess just becoming my mother. Anyway.
We all turn into our mothers.
Yes. On the first half of the show, we talked about how to survive unfriendly insects. And on this half of the show, we're going to talk about how to survive being the friendliest freshman with Matt Gourley.
Hi, Matt. I'm imagining this isn't the first time you've had this topic for your guests.
It is a little bit tried and true, but it's okay. So if you don't know Matt, you'll soon recognize his voice, I'm sure, because he is a regular and, I guess, are you a co-creator of Bananas for Bonanza?
Yes, sort of. I mean, an associate, I guess. Andy's the real inventor of that,
right?
Where I'm just along for the ride like a sidekick.
Right.
You know what
but
I mean?
But it is, as everyone knows who's listening to the show, I'm a huge fan, and I was on it recently,
yes,
which was a huge honor.
Really fun.
And and then you also might know him from Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, another podcast.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? That was sort of like, wait.
I used to work as a podcast consultant, if you can believe there was such a thing. Yeah. And I went in to help develop that show and kind of create what it would be,
yeah,
and then never left. And I don't know whose choice that was. I was never really consulted, but I feel, you know.
It's weird that a consultant wouldn't be consulted.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I should bill them for that.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. And then just stuck around as a producer. And then now Sona, his assistant, and I are the kind of embattled co-hosts on the show.
Right. So you get to be on air.
Yeah, more than is comfortable. And that's coming for someone who has been podcasting since like 2005 or 6. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You don't want to be in his gaze.
Sometimes it can be a dangerous set of crosshairs.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes it's become very fun since Sona really gives it back to him, and then once I learned to speak that language, now it's two against one.
Good.
It's nice. Pretty fun. Nice.
So yeah. what are the battles center around normally?
Just him commenting on how people look and dress like a boomer. You know what I mean? Really, really taking you down for, he thinks that, he explained to the listeners that
he wears a jean jacket made for a Ken doll. How dare he?
He himself, in his defense, will say that this is all projection, especially as he goes after me, you know, saying like, you wear a lot of tweed. I don't. Although I am here in a cardigan sweater, so I'm not one to talk. But he and I actually, I think, are more similar than either of us want to admit.
Okay.
And so there is a little bit of a self-hatred or something. I'm not really sure.
Self-hatred that's projected onto each other.
100%, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're glad we have you here, and we won't make fun of your clothing because I actually like your outfit. I think it's very cozy.
I kind
of
want that cardigan, and right? I might try to get it from you.
I'm giving it away at the end of this episode.
Oh,
so.
Yay!
Whoever says the magic word.
Oh. Say the magic word. What is that Swedish word again?
Hygge.
Hygge.
Is that the word?
Oh, the cozy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew Matt would know.
Yeah. It's like a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Anything cozy is right up my alley.
Yeah.
Right?
We're embracing hygge lifestyle.
I have a cozy alley. It's an alley that's so cozy. It's just like lined with crushed velour.
Oh, and then you just throw people around in it?
If they want. If that's what they find cozy, it might just be that they want to put on the TV and sit there and watch Norwegian slow TV or something.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Please invite us.
You're welcome.
It really
does. Anytime. Yeah.
Sounds really good. Okay. So this is an interesting case in which I have really no idea what happened was, Matt's emails weren't getting to me for some reason. I have no idea how this happened. If anyone knows how to fix this, where just one person in your life can't send you emails, let me know.
This drives me crazy because I think for a good 48 hours, you probably thought I was kind of an irresponsible and like non-caring person. And that is a type of thing that eats at me.
So went against what I know of you. Not that I know you that well, but I was like, this is so weird that he just won't answer my emails.
And I wasn't getting replies from you. And I kept thinking, because I needed to change the time. And I thought, I don't know what to do. So I had to text you early this morning.
Luckily, I had sent him my phone number yesterday. So I don't know. Anyway, so I don't really know what the story is about. But all I know is that it has to do with you being named the friendliest freshman. And I'm titillated.
Okay. I will say this story takes a turn that you wouldn't expect.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yes.
So ready.
Dive in.
Okay. So it was my freshman year of high school at Lucerna High in Whittier, California. It would have been 1987 going into 88, I believe. And they would do a thing every year because this school was big on school spirit. There was all I was fairly involved and ended up, you know, running for vice president and then ASB and all this stuff. But this friendliest freshman dance was the first event of the school year.
Okay.
And so when you're an incoming freshman class, it's a big deal. It's not just the freshmen that go to this dance, but one freshman, boy and a girl, get crowned friendliest freshman, very much like homecoming. So it's basically freshman homecoming. But there is a catch. And the way, first I guess I should tell you the ceremony. So you go to this dance, and five boys and five girls are lined up on stage, and they put a paper Burger King crown behind the boys and the girls.
Okay.
And they do a thing where they put it over each head, and they get applause for who's going to be crowned the boy and the girl of friendliest freshman. And it just happens right there. I don't think there was a voting.
Well, there must have been some sort of preliminary
to get you
on the stage,
You nominate, and so the top five of each would be brought to stage. I'm glad you
Is this like a Quaker school?
Because it's in Whittier?
Yeah.
No, it's a very
much... Isn't that where Nixon's from or something?
Is Whittier it is, very Quaker?
Yeah. Yes, well, no, it's a, I just it know is that a Quaker town.
Yeah. All I knew was that I think Nixon is from, okay. And he was a Quaker. And then,
it's true.
And it's the friendliest friend. I've like never heard of anything like that.
It's a strange place. Whittier's, I was born and raised there. It's nowhere near a freeway, so it's almost this weird isolated suburban thing.
Okay.
But it's so long and it has a very diverse demographic. For instance, this school was almost kind of like a John Hughes school that... It was up in the hills of like pine trees and nice houses, and it was kind of a well off area. I lived below Whittier Boulevard, which was very strictly middle class. But this school, so it had a lot of rich kids and also bussed in a lot of Hispanic students who had a separate, it was like segregation. It was crazy. They had a thing called Expanded Horizons. They had their own homecoming dance that like
what?
We weren't within the same voting block for that. It was insane.
But you had classes together.
No. Only classes we ever had, and most people didn't because everybody would play sports and I was not really much of an athlete. Mm. So I had to take PE, and that was the only time the two groups.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I learned every curse word in the Spanish language. It was the only other white student was a guy named Freedom Fisher and me and all of these, you know, quote unquote, Expanded Horizon students. But we became fast friends and I learned every curse
That's
word
awesome.
In Spanish and it was great.
I'm sorry, there was a white guy named Freedom Fisher?
Yes, there was.
He
was.
Does not in the 80s?
He was the son of hippies.
Okay.
And he was a skater. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah,
okay.
He wasn't like a sort of like hard right person. No, he's more okay. of like
all right.
Now that would be
exactly.
I was thinking more like it sounded like a cool black name.
I know.
Like it sounds like something that what's his face would name one of his 12 children.
George Foreman?
No.
Oh, Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
Oh, right.
Because they're all like one of them's
run out of all the other.
Well,
names
one of them's named Beautiful. What, you know, like
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, if all of this sounds a bit strange, here's where it gets more strange.
Okay.
So there's a tradition. And as far as I knew, this tradition had never been broken, that when the boy and the girl were crowned, they had to, in front, on stage and in front of the entire dance attendance, which was a lot of the student body, French kiss and beat the record from the year before.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Wait, ninth graders?
Ninth graders.
And that's insane.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I have pictures.
Oh, no.
Please, yes. That's crazy. Can you imagine?
So is it something where you're hoping not to get picked?
I certainly was. I was very nervous.
Because it's not necessarily somebody you're dating.
No, it's not. It's
almost, probably not, right?
It wasn't in my
Boy,
case.
What a different time.
Santina Taurasi was her name.
How is this okay? Oh, my God.
Let's see.
They're smooth.
Oh,
they're full on backing out.
And then we get handcuffed.
What?
You get handcuffed.
What?
There we are. Whoops. That's us handcuffed together with our crowns. That's Santina and me. And so to make matters worse.
Oh, my God.
There was a lot of scuttlebutt that she and I were going to win somehow. And her mom was there. And she came up to me before the thing and said, don't you kiss my daughter.
Oh,
jeez.
So I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, because you're like, that's what I have to do.
Wait, the parents, she was a chaperone or something?
I think so.
Don't you kiss my daughter. But that's the thing. So you're sort of, oh, my God.
Then don't
God.
Let your daughter
so
go
wait.
Up there.
Maybe I'm missing something.
This is the weirdest
You're
thing.
You're not. This is not you.
But so is it right now there are five couples up there and they're all French kissing?
No, sorry.
They're holding the crown over each
that
head
would be crazy.
And whoever gets the biggest applause, they're going to be crowned Mr.
Got it,
and Miss
got it. Okay.
Friendliest freshman.
And then you guys got that.
Santina
so then
and
you
I
guys start making out.
We don't just like run towards each other. We are sort of both of us very reluctant.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, you only have to do it for a minute. And this was a big change in the year. And
This is progress.
I know. I think it was because I think I remember there being this scuttlebutt of like the mother kind of getting upset and everything. And the teacher's solution was, no, they only have to do it for 60 seconds.
That's a long time.
A minute's still a long time for tongues to just be going when you're 14, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So had you ever kissed a girl before this?
I had, yeah.
Okay, so you were maybe not as nervous as... It's still weird.
In front of everyone?
Yeah, it was, you know, so much of it was compounded by the fact that... I don't know what your high school experience was like, but this was junior high to high school. three junior highs mm-hmm. come together in this big high school, and it felt like a whole new world. I felt like I was living in New York City. It felt magical, exciting, petrifying. Uh-huh. So it was all of those feelings. But I also felt exhilarated to have been crowned friendliest freshman, but with this catch was really complicating. And it was not something my brain was equipped to handle. So
that's
I think I just did it.
Yeah.
I just did it, you know, as did Santina. It wasn't either of us pushing for it. In fact, I think we were physically probably pushed together at some point.
And is the crowd hooping and hollering?
They're loving it. They're loving it.
They love it. And if you don't, so if you're really friendly, maybe you like cop a feel or something.
That didn't happen.
Good. Okay.
And Santina and I knew each other fairly well, and she was really sweet and really wonderful. And I do remember, I also was about 5 feet tall, so I was not like a threatening looking fellow. So I think we both had this kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, a kind of like lovely misery of this whole thing, and just like kind of bonded as friends in a way of
oh, that's good.
You know, how, I guess let's just do this and none of us, you know, will, I don't know.
Oh, it's my like, God.
I forget how strange it is until I tell people.
Well, it's really,
now I think it's strange.
Well, but. What the weird thing is that it's school sanctioned.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you can't even hold hands in school anymore.
Is that right?
Well, aren't there some schools that, like, I think they probably don't want any physical contact. I think that might be a rule in some schools.
There's some other strange stories about just what they would allow that.
Tell us.
Well, when I ran for publicity chairperson in ASB in senior year, which is the guy that makes all the posters.
Okay.
For my speech in front of the whole student body, had a friend come out with like a paper sandwich board that just said bad publicity. And I said, I promise to eliminate bad publicity. And I was really into movies and special effects. And so I had wired him with explosive blood packs. And I pulled out a gun and just machine gunned him in front of the entire student body. And teachers included, all came up and were like, oh, you're so clever. This was before Columbine. And we would set off explosives and pyrotechnics during pep rallies and things like that. I just was always working with all these things. And, you know, part of this whole weirdness of this school is probably me, now that I think
of it. You were the problem.
I know.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it is indicative of like what a different time it was.
Yeah.
I just watched the pilot of Freaks and Geeks with my daughter. And realized, because there's a moment where James Franco asks Linda Cardellini, I can't remember any of the characters' names, to say, hey, come out to the smoking area. And I was like, oh, yeah, my school had
mine too.
A smoking, it was in the middle of the school. It was like a big courtyard, and it was glass around it. So it was like you could go.
Oh, inside.
You could see it, like you could walk around it.
Were you in a cold weather city?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, was there glass on top? Was there a ceiling?
No, it was open. So it was like an outside area, but that you could access inside the school.
You mean for the purpose of smoking? Like you didn't get in trouble if you smoked?
Yeah.
My school had that too.
But by the time I got there as a freshman, you couldn't anymore. But like both my brothers who were older than me, it was the smoking area.
It was my freshman year, and then it ended.
So then when I got there as a freshman, it had just ended the year before, where students could smoke in the smoking lounge.
I'm completely blown away.
Allowed
I had
to.
No idea that was a thing.
In fact, our yearbook had a page that was like the smoking section, and it was just all the cool kids there smoking.
And everybody looks 30.
Yes, yes.
This is so weird.
Even now when you look, because I remember as a kid thinking,
I know.
All those students in high school look like they're 37. And I go, well, that's probably how I remember it as a kid. But when I go back and look at those pictures now, I'm like, everybody looks like Bob Seger. Like they all look so old.
Still. I mean, kids in my school smoked, but it wasn't done out in the open. I mean, it was with this one teacher because I went to an arts high school. So one of our theater teachers would smoke with the kids. Like he was cool. But it wasn't like a designated area. Here, you delinquent children, go smoke in this area. It's wild.
It's wild.
So weird.
It's wild how differently everything was viewed.
And do you guys have open campuses? Because we got to leave campus for lunch and drive.
We could when we were juniors, I think. Okay, like when you were a freshman and a sophomore, you couldn't leave. But then once you were a junior, you had your driver's license. Like we could go off campus for lunch and like come back. And
I went to my high school was on the campus of a college. It was on the campus of Cal State LA because it's an arts high school.
Wow.
And So it was really big. I mean, you could, but it would probably take you a while to get to your car to go off the campus and come back. But I think as seniors, you were allowed to, I think. But I don't know that we probably did that often because it was kind of a time suck to go do that.
It was a rush.
Yeah.
If we wanted to make it to In-N-Out on Telegraph Road, it was a real sprint because that was a slow driveway, too.
Yeah, and In-N-Out, so slow all the time.
I know. And I remember being in that drive-through in high school when the first Gulf War broke out on the radio and we were at lunch.
Wow.
Yeah, it was strange.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay. So everyone applauds. Everyone's excited. And then you just go back and you're dancing now?
Yeah, we're handcuffed together for the rest of the dance.
Oh. And if one of you has a boyfriend or girlfriend, that's
That's
too
a good
bad.
Question. I don't think that was the case with either of us. Certainly not me. I don't think, but that's a good question.
Like, well.
Yeah,
it's just
probably.
Such a weird thing. It's weird no matter which way you lay it out. But for freshmen, you guys don't even know each other yet. And it's the worst year.
And I don't know if she had... You know, the term back then was French kiss, you know. I don't know if she had done that before or
not. I can't believe you can't just smooch on the lips. You had a French kiss. That is so intimate and weird.
I know.
I mean, imagine.
And your mother's watching.
Just now imagine that trying to, like that happening with our kids.
Oh, my God.
Like parents would, the police would show. Yes. Like, it would be.
SWAT teams would descend. Yes.
It would literally be like. Every teacher would be fired. They would be sent to prison. It would be like insane.
I know.
Okay, so do you know how long this lasted?
You know what? I just was asking myself that question. I don't know. Because
what if it still happens? What if Whittier is just a weird little
trapped in time place?
Here's what's weird. I can't remember when I was a senior. I was on ASB, so I would have been part of whatever that was, but I don't remember. God, I hope it didn't happen, and I hope I was not.
You would have been the one making it happen, forcing those young kids.
I don't recall that, and I really don't know.
We got to go into the Whittier Facebook alumni group and do some detective work.
That would be the class of 94, I think, that freshman class, that whether they did it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just completely, my mind is blown. I've never heard of anything so bizarre. Like, it's just so weird. Did you have weird things at your high school? Can you think of anything?
Oh my gosh. I mean, you know, we had weird stuff where it was like, oh yeah, that teacher was, it turns out our vice principal was in a hot tub with some of the senior girls.
Oh yeah.
Like stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had
a lot of weird stuff. Like I had a friend who was in like a relationship with a guy that worked on the campus, and she was in eighth grade, and like,
oh, I know,
he was an adult, and like,
oh my God,
it was like lots of stuff that was like that, where it was where you go, oh,
something's wrong.
Lots of stuff like that.
We had, she was, I think, a year younger than me, and there was this guy, and he must have been at least 30. I don't know, and I don't even know what his role was, if he was a teacher or an aide or a counselor.
Uh-huh.
And we would always see them at like Mimi's Cafe together. We'd go out and we'd see them. And I remember as a kid going, feeling that was weird, but never having a like logical or conscious thought that it was anything. I think I just thought, oh, if they're not saying it's something, then it must not be anything.
Yeah.
Which was so
weird.
Was he a
teacher?
He was some kind of teacher. He was definitely employed by the school. And whatever it was inappropriate.
And they were out in public.
They were out in public, and I'm fairly certain, finding out after the fact, that they were dating in some way. And I remember just wishing I had some sense to know I knew deep down, but I never.
But that's a kid thing. Like, you know what's wrong.
The culture kind of accepted it. I mean, I remembered when we were in middle school, we were in eighth grade, and I've probably talked about this on the show before. Guys who were already out of high school. Or like seniors in high school and guys who were already out of high school, the guys who couldn't get girls their own age, would come down and hang out at the middle school to wait for the girls to get out of eighth grade.
Jesus.
These girls were my friends, to pick them up. And like, those were the girls that were called sluts. There was no judgment about these guys being like adult men who were like basically, you know, assaulting little girls.
Those poor girls.
And those girls were the girls that were like, those girls are sluts.
Yeah.
Those girls are sluts. So it's a really interesting, when you can look back as an adult and go, why wasn't anyone protecting those girls?
Jesus.
And adults weren't protecting them.
And no. Kids didn't know to protect them.
No, because they were kids.
No, I think most people thought, if they didn't think they were sluts, they thought, how cool. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember thinking, well, boys don't like me.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because they're not driving down to want me.
They're not trying to talk to me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No one wants to sexually assault me. Why? I'm too flat chested. When am I going to get boobs so boys can sexually assault me? The adult men.
Jesus.
Thank God. Thank God I was flat chested.
You think that's what protected you?
Well, my brother was also 6'8". I think that helped.
That does help. That does
And everybody in town knew who he was. So okay. I think that was also... And my teeth were really fucked. It did. My teeth were busted.
Yeah.
I think that helped.
Wow.
Thank God.
But then you had that great hair. You had the feathers. I mean, that kind of...
I did. That happened in high school, though. I got those big bear claw bangs and a big perm. And then just the world opened.
Can you say what year you graduated?
91.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all the same age.
Are we really?
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of shocked at what you're saying, because it sounds so foreign to me.
But you're a city girl.
But we didn't have a smoking section.
You're in L.A.
So what month were you guys born?
February.
March,
May.
Oh, yeah,
so we
would have
all
eldest.
Been in the same class.
God. Yeah,
you guys would have been up for friendliest freshman.
Oh my God,
I wouldn't have. I would have been smoking in the bleachers.
Yeah, she was duking.
I was Kim.
Were you a bad girl?
I was very bad. Yeah,
really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
The big thing in our school. Well, I don't know if it was a big thing, but we did have a PE. Like, I think you had to do PE 1 year because, like I said, it was an arts high school, so it wasn't like we didn't have sports. But the PE teacher had been in a movie where she was topless.
What movie?
Oh. So that was kind
Porky's, of right?
It was probably like it was probably like a third rate
like a rip off of Porky's.
Yeah, really? Something like
You've
that.
Never looked this up?
Well, this was before the internet, so obviously some people had seen it. They had got a tape or something. I don't know that I really cared.
Do you know her name?
God, I want to find out.
I do,
and I can't remember it. It's like Delisa, Miss Delisa, or something like that. Okay. Delise?
God, I hope Karen can find
something
this.
Like that. Yeah, so that was kind of like, do you know that she was topless?
Wow.
Yeah, so that was kind of a scandal.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
And then
one.
There was supposedly in the background of a picture that was in the yearbook, these two people, one of the guy was a friend of mine. I don't know if they were having sex or something was going on. And they're in the back, like in the way background of some picture that ended up. I don't know if they were naked. It was something scandalous.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Did you have anything weird in your school that?
I think nothing that comes to mind. I mean, maybe me trying to create a rival school newspaper.
You were trying to do.
I was.
Compromise or something.
They had the charger. No, they had the charger, whatever, the newspaper.
Uh-huh. Disinformation.
It was not very current, like, what's the word? Reliable, or it wasn't.
It was
like every
6 months
or
integrity.
Something.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, well, I'm going to do a weekly one.
Okay.
And it's going to be, I'm going to call it Charger X. And we did all sorts of like reviews and stuff, and I was put up these posters and get in trouble for it. They finally, they launched something called Charger Flash. Because of me, and I started putting up signs that said "Forget the flash, check the X."
Oh my God!
And then
I had
to go see the vice principal.
This is like the yellow journalism wars of Hearst.
Exactly.
You got in trouble with the vice principal.
You can't do this anymore. You can't.
But why were you doing anything inappropriate?
No, there was a review for a Hanson album in one of the.
That's not appropriate.
You're so edgy.
I understand.
What was the Charger Flash?
Was the same. It was my idea that we were doing. They just decided to steal it.
To actually come
out
weekly.
Out weekly or every 2 weeks.
Oh, that is some bullshit.
Yeah.
Did you charge for your newspaper?
No.
Well, then I don't know what the problem possibly could have been.
Don't know. Unsanctioned?
Wow.
Maybe? I don't even think they said, why don't you join the journalism
club
or something.
Yeah, maybe that.
They just shut me down.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it was wild.
Matt, thank you so much. This was such a blast. I'm so glad we finally got you on.
It was good. It was kind of therapeutic to be able to just
such a great story. Oh my God, high school. That time period it's so insane.
I know.
And again, for anyone who hasn't signed up for Bonanza, I suggest you do. My son and I just finished the one with Patton this morning.
Nice.
And we were once again buckled over laughing. It's so funny, and it's just a, such a weird concept.
I can't get over the fact that we all would have been in high school together. I was a bit of a rover, so maybe we would have been friends.
We might
you know?
Have. Yeah. Oh, I yeah. was, well, like I said, I went to an arts high school, so it wasn't the same sort of, like, there weren't jocks. Yeah. There were, no, everyone was a theater yeah. nerd or a dance nerd or a visual or artistic nerd or, you know, but there were still cool people within that, and I definitely wasn't cool. But I was fine. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I would have probably been swallowed up completely by a regular high school.
Our school was really small. Mm. Sounds like really? You guys went to bigger high schools.
Yeah, there was probably 1,200 oh, students, wow. I think.
Oh, my school yeah. was much smaller than that.
Yeah.
The graduating class was only 152 kids.
That's how ours was.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you were kind of yeah. stuck in your group.
Yeah, but I really liked my group, so I ended up okay. But yeah.
That's good.
That's nice.
But yeah. Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have all gone to school. I don't think I would have been friends with Chris. You would have scared the shit out of me. Yeah. I know it. Because there's this girl who scared the shit out of me. And I, every time you talk about old stories, that's who I think of. And then I ended up playing like Words with Friends with her. And I finally had to say, I was like, you scared the shit out of me in high school. She's like, I did. I'm like, you walked
through. Wait till you see my triple words.
I was like, you walked through the school like you were this... And it was an arts high school, yeah. so to have someone yeah. in like a Guns N' Roses shirt with like feathered, she looked like she was from another town. She did not look like she was yeah. from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like she was tough. And that's what I picture you as when you tell me these stories.
Yeah, that was
so
mean.
I think you would have just scared me. But maybe we would have laughed together or something. And
yeah.
And then,
I think, well, I had those, I had a lot of tough friends but I also was not, like we weren't in the same classes because I was in like
smarter classes,
AP English, mm-hmm. but then sort of, yeah, it was a weird, hard time.
Yeah.
Because I was also like, I sort of knew where their lives were going.
Oh,
and
uh-huh.
I kind of had this secret dream that yeah. I was like, yeah, I want to well, first of all, I want to graduate high school.
Right.
Because that was, no one in my family had done that.
Uh-huh.
And so I was wow. like, I want to be the first, I want to go to college. But yeah. like, I couldn't even express that to my friends because that would have been like.
You're hottie. Oh
my God. What state was this?
Ohio.
Ohio, wow.
So I was inside a different person
oh, wow.
than what I was sort of allowed to express right. on the outside. So I kind of knew, I was like, I just have to wait and then I can be fully myself.
Yeah.
How long did it take for you to do that once you got to college?
I think, yeah. I mean, once I got to college, I sort of got to really start feeling myself. Yeah. But it wasn't until I really moved out here that I actually got to, like, and that was years later.
Wow.
So,
man,
it was a journey.
Well, Matt and I would have been friends in high school.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. yeah. And now we all are.
And so right. we all
guess
are.
What? It worked out for me, and I don't have to kick your ass.
She totally would have kicked my ass. Except
mine too.
I would not have been a threat to you with boys or anything, so there's no way. I don't think you would have kicked my ass.
Literally, the only reason I did get in a fight one time was because of a boy.
I know, that's why I said yeah. it.
That, and she was the one who was like, tell your boyfriend I want my underwear back. And that's the only reason I punched
her. Oh, no.
Yeah. He was a piece of shit, though.
Sounds
so.
Like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sounds yeah. like she was a slut.
And she was a big whore.
And he was 45.
Thank you so, so much, Matt. I'm
my
so
pleasure.
Glad
that
we got
was
to
really
have you
fun.
On.
Thanks
and
for having me.
We will be right back with What Did We Learn Today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Christine.
Hi, Danielle.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
I feel like I'm going to get a handful.
You are. You're going to get two hands full.
I got my hands wide open.
What's wrong with Roman?
What's wrong with that guy? That's my favorite thing.
Sometimes I can be a dork. Ira Glass quote, "Nobody tells this to people who are beginners. I wish someone told me. All of us who do creative work, we get into it because we have good taste. But there is this gap. For the first couple of years, you make stuff. It's just not that good. I'm trying to be good. It has potential, but it's not. But your taste, the thing that got you into the game, is still killer. And your taste is why your work disappoints you." That totally makes sense.
What if it's forever?
I was going to say first couple of years.
Yeah, I'm like, how about always?
How about always?
Why can't I write The Godfather?
Yeah, why am I not writing the same as Succession?
Right. Rhodesia region, South Central Africa, now divided into Zimbabwe in the south and Zambia in the north. Okay. Named after British colonial administrator Cecil Rhodes. Oh, that's so depressing. It was administered by the British South African Company in the 19th century and exploited mostly for its gold, copper, and coal deposits.
What's depressing? I missed the depressing part.
That this African country was named for a colonial administrator from Britain.
Oh.
His name was Cecil Rhodes, so they named it Rhodesia.
Golly gee.
Well, actually, Jane Eyre is written by Charlotte Bronte.
Oh.
And Wuthering Heights is written by Emily Bronte.
So I got it all kinds of wrong.
You got flip-flapped, reversed it.
I flippy-flapped it.
How dare you?
I hate myself.
A heath is an area of open, uncultivated land, especially in Britain, with characteristic vegetation of heather, gorse, and coarse grasses.
Thank God you corrected me on that. But they also have it on this German island.
Basically what you said, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I guess.
A heath bar is a candy bar made of toffee, almonds, and milk chocolate, first manufactured by the Heath Brothers Confectionery in 1928. Delia Owens and her ex-husband Mark Owens were prominent conservationists, and in the 1990s they lived in Zambia making it their life's work to prevent poaching. But in 1995, their methods went a step too far when a suspected poacher was shot and killed. At the time, an ABC News crew was filming a documentary about the Owenses, but they didn't film the shooter, only the bullets being fired into the man's body. What? The couple left Zambia soon afterward and went back home to the United States. They are still wanted for questioning by the Zambian government. And you're telling me that's the woman who wrote Where the Crawdads Sing,
yeah. There's a pretty interesting piece about this whole story, and I don't know if it's it might be Vanity Fair. I encourage you to read it, Danielle.
It's fascinating. Will,
and it's fascinating.
Okay.
Read up on her. Read up on
how do they shoot or they get footage of the guy getting shot?
That's what I said. I don't understand that.
So weird.
It's bizarre. While in Africa, protect yourself from the tsetse fly with medium to thick clothes. Don't worry about the heat stroke. You'll survive that, maybe. Despite being a preventable and curable disease, 1.5 million people die from tuberculosis each year, making it the world's top infectious killer. Thank you. Okay, are you ready? Buckle down. Nick Cannon's kids are named.
Yeah.
Onyx, Ice, Cole.
Wait, those are three different names?
Nope, that's one.
Onyx, Ice, Cole is one name.
Mm-hmm. Cannon. Okay. Onyx, Ice, Cole, Cannon. Fine. The twins, Moroccan Cannon and Monroe Cannon. That's with Mariah Carey. Golden Cannon. Rise Messiah Cannon. Powerful Queen Cannon.
Okay.
Zion Mixolydian Cannon.
Okay.
Zillion Air.
Zillion Air.
Zillion is one name, and Air, H-E-I-R, is the middle name. So it's Zillionaire Cannon. Beautiful Zeppelin Cannon, Legendary Love Cannon, and Halo Marie Cannon.
I mean, I'm really struggling right now.
Yeah. So you understand why when I heard Powerful, whatever.
Freedom.
Freedom. He has 12 kids. He's running out of names.
There's so many names that aren't these dumb. That aren't these dumb, guys.
Oh, it's just so gross.
But it's like, I just feel like you're saddling your kids. I guess he's like, I have so much money, it's fine.
Powerful Queen?
Zillionaire?
Zillion, kind of on its own at least, sounds kind of cool. But your name is Powerful? That's your first name? Powerful. Powerful. Take out the trash.
You got to yell that at the playground?
It's ridiculous.
Also, they have to go to school, like...
They probably just...
They're homeschooling?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just...
I mean, but who's nickname? Home?
What's Powerful? Short for Powerful?
Pow Pow.
Pow Pow. So she's automatically a grandfather.
Oh my God. Pow Pow.
Pow Pow. Get over here.
How do you look at a baby and go, hey, legendary? Oh, it's just so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
It's wild.
Yeah. Onyx Ice. That sounds like something
that's a perfume
Garen would drink.
Oh, yeah. We'd have to say to Garen, Garen, I think you're drinking too much Onyx ice. You're getting jaundice.
Yeah. All right. Well,
wow. That was illuminating, which is also probably his kid's next name.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
illuminating icon canon. You're welcome, Nick.
Until next time, I guess.
Remain calm.